Hello and welcome to Avashin Podcast. In this podcast, we welcome guests who are waging a struggle. My name is Frederike Geerdink. I'm a journalist who writes and speaks about power structures and those who want to tear them down. This podcast is powered by Media News, which you can visit at medianews.net. Let me explain why this podcast is called Avashin, meaning blue water. Avashin is a region in mountains of Kurdistan, where the river by the same name has its source. The Avashin is clear, blue and sparkling, and an inspiration in the Kurdish struggle for freedom. This is the second episode of Avashin Podcast. I'm honored to welcome Eva as my guest. Eva is not my guest's real name, but they prefer to remain anonymous. They live in Exertia, a neighborhood in Athens, Greece. Eva struggles against gentrification, but their struggle is bigger than that. When I asked Eva how they wanted to be introduced, the answer was, "I'm an anarchist." Welcome as my guest, Eva.
Hey.
My first question to you would be, what is the source of your struggle? Where did it all begin for you?
That's a quite personal question, but very interesting one, because I think a struggle is also a very personal thing for everyone, and it comes from different kind of experiences we all have. For me specifically, I don't know, I would say I kind of always had this will for freedom, and I could see the injustice, let's say, everywhere around me. And since I was a young teenager, I had this fascination for the movement and for anarchism because of a lot of different series of events that happened here in Greece. We can say from the insurrection of 2008, after the cops killed a 15-year-old kid, to the murder of Pavlos Fissas from fascists, until the squatting movement in Greece. Also very important for my personal experience was, or still is, the refugee crisis that started at 2015. There, in the situation of migrants and refugees, it's clearly, you can clearly feel and see the injustice, let's say, that exists in this world, and you can understand all different kinds of oppressions, gender oppression, class oppression, racist behaviors. You can all see them in the refugee issue, and definitely me. Moving to Exarchia neighborhood helped for my politicization, let's say.
Because you didn't grow up in that neighborhood?
No, no.
Did you grow up in Athens or somewhere else in another city?
I grew up in Ireland, in Greece.
Yeah. And what kind of... We're going to talk more about the different issues that you mentioned. And that may not be familiar to people yet, like the insurrection of 2008. We'll get to that later. What kind of injustices did you see as a child? Can you give an example or examples?
I can say about the refugee crisis that I saw it as a teenager, where I grew up. It was very shocking to me to see Greek people that have everything in their life. Like, they have money, they have family, they have love around them. Like, in the capitalist world, they are fulfilled, let's say. To be enraged and be so angry on migrant people, I don't know, stealing tomatoes from a garden, for example, like, or calling them trash people, or not acknowledge at all their situation, that they have fled war and most of them have faced death, and they have had so many harsh experiences that we can't even imagine, and still being so strong people and fighting people, and us in Europe, let's say in Greece, couldn't acknowledge that and keep behaving to these people as some creatures that are lower than us. I describe it very simple because it was simple to my eyes when I was a teenager.
How old are you now?
Now I'm 22.
How did you get from that point as a teenager, seeing how refugees came to the islands and how people behaved to them? How did you get from there to becoming an anarchist? What kind of analysis did you make?
Even before the refugee crisis, I would describe myself in a naive way as an anarchist. Of course, I didn't fully understand the term or haven't read books and stuff. But in this childish naive mindset. I don't know. I think this has to do also with Greece as a place where anarchism is something kind of normal in a sense, like something that is widespread in the society somehow. I don't know if still I can say it's like this, but the social and political movements in the past decade were so many that you could see on the TV. All the time, the word anarchist and anti-authoritarian and riots and like it was something that you could see as a person on the TV or in a poster on slogans or in the local squads. Yeah.
And how did you? Because before you said you were calling yourself an anarchist in a more naive way, that has matured apparently. Can you say how that transformed, how it's now not naive anymore, and how you look at it? Let's start, for example, with what happened with refugees on the islands. How do you look at that as an anarchist?
To me, a very important thing is not to look to migrants as we are like white saviors, for example, because I think. I have done this mistake and I've seen this mistake to a lot of people around me, also people from European countries, that they just want to help, help materially. This is all, it's very important to help materially, but it's not the center of the struggle, this material help. It's very important to look at migrants as I don't know, as everyone else, like a person that has a history, a person that has a political opinion, a person that has a point of view in everything, a person that has emotions, has strength, and not to behave to migrants as something different in the sense of we will help them, we will save them from their bad position they are. To me, as an anarchist, we should struggle together. That's the difference. Like I want to get politicized with them. It's very important to feel welcomed and to feel they can belong again somewhere and can create a community with someone.
When did you move to Exergia? And also, can you explain why this neighborhood is so important for the anarchist community in Athens?
I came to Athens for studies, like that's a normal thing everybody does when they finish high school. And it was kind of by luck, by accident, let's say, that I moved in Exergia, but that's what I wanted. But also it was a bit of by luck. Okay, I will try not to romanticize Exarchia and also not to to make it. I want to give a personal but a bit realistic also image of this neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we can see that people that don't live in Greece, they have this image of the neighborhood being an autonomous area, revolt area, without understanding that it's a neighborhood filled with capitalism, filled with state power. But of course, it's different from other areas. That's true. And the struggle is different here. That's also true.
In what way is it different?
When I first came in Exarchia for a visit when I was like 16, I could, I don't know, a bit metaphysically already feel this difference.
Yeah.
It's so great to walk in the street and feel somehow that here nobody can hurt you, like the state cannot hurt you. You can easily walk around and do whatever you want, and nobody will tell you anything. Okay, that's not true. But in the past years, that was my feeling, that here everybody can do what they want without the state intervene. Like every street had one or two squats or a social center or some place that some kind of a movement is happening. Like it could be from a social kitchen to a self-organized shop to a squat to anything. Like every street had these spaces. And the people, that's very important, the people that are there or were there. I don't know. I have lived there only 5 years. I don't know the whole history. And also, I could say this is again a pretty naive thought of a young person. It's not like this.
But you felt free. Yeah. The first few times that you came there, you felt free.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I still feel free, but. Yeah.
Because what is it about this neighborhood then? I think it played a role, also an important role in Greece history.
Yes, and just to mention that Exarchia is in the middle of Athens, it's in the center of Athens. It was the student and workers and people's revolt in 1973. In Exarchia neighborhood, there is the Polytechnic University. A lot, like in the past, in the 70s and 80s, most of the universities were placed in Exarchia. That's very important because all the young people were in this neighborhood. After the state understood how bad it is, this, all the young people to be in one place, so decided to move the universities a bit far from the center. So the people cannot have this direct contact between them. Anyway, the 70s was a military junta in Greece, like a dictatorship, and the Polytechnic University in Exarchia in 73 started becoming a center of struggle. Like the people, the students squatted the university, and just within a few days, a spontaneous uprising happened where like the whole society joined there and made massive demos and struggled against all kinds of oppressions that they were facing in that period. And maybe you are familiar with this image of the military tank entering the gate of the university and killing a lot of young people and students.
When did that happen? Which year was that?
It was at 17 of November 1973. This is a big historical event for Greece in general, not only for the leftist and anarchist movements. Okay, so this is like, let's say, a big event. And a big, a symbol for Exarchia and for the struggle is this university. that it's still a university. It's the University of Architecture, and we can later on discuss about the meaning of this university even in the today's struggle. Another event that is very important. Okay, just to mention, like in the Polytechnic University, like every year it's an anniversary for the struggle, and every year a new big event is happening there, like from the cops killing again a kid there to big riots and big protests. Like every year, this date, 17th of November, is a date that people use somehow to confront the state and use this historical memory to every year confront the state with the different issues that they deal.
Is this also related to this insurrection of 2008 that you mentioned? Was that on 17 November too?
No, it's not. The insurrection of 2008, it happened at it started at the 6th of December. At that day, it was this young anarchist student, Alexis Grigoropoulos. He was hanging out with his friends in Mesologiou Street, a street in Exarchia, that people hung out there. And a cop car passed by, and there was some small, I don't know, like some small shout or something from both sides. And then the cop took out his gun and shot Alexis and kills him. Consciously kills a 15-year-old kid in the heart of Exarchia neighborhood. This was very shocking, of course, for the whole society, and riots started immediately and continued for like 1 month in whole Greece. Like this became a movement everywhere. The demos were huge, the riots were huge, the squatting buildings became more and more, but for all different kinds of reasons. Like you can see people that for different reasons now they could express their oppression, like maybe their working or oppression or their identity oppression. It was just, let's say, the death, the murder of the kid was just the beginning, let's say, for people to start opposing to authority. But this revolt really woke up the consciousness, let's say, of everyone in the society. It was such a big thing, like it was on the news every day, this series of events. And to me, as a small child, I remember it very clearly.
A little bit earlier, you already said that you didn't want to romanticize Exarchia. Can you explain what happened? Because the image of the neighborhood, from what I see from a distance, is that it's still rather revolutionary. But I don't think you agree. Can you explain what happened?
I think something we should talk about is Syriza, the so-called left-wing government that was in power till 2018, 19. From 2015, mm-hmm. And that at that time, somehow the left government used the strategy of letting the anarchists do what they want. The oppression was still going on, but I would say it was a bit passive oppression, or the repression. Sorry, or the repression was only maybe. Not to everyone. Like, if you were a leftist, okay, I don't think you were that kind of repression. And Syriza used a lot of sneaky ways somehow to repress the movement, not direct ones. And I think Syriza destroyed the movement because of assimilation. Because a lot of people were like, oh, okay, now we have the left government, we won. Like, what can go wrong? They don't repress us so much, they are more chill. And so a lot of people assimilated by this and didn't continue the struggle in big force, or they continue.
And you don't think it was true that there was less oppression?
I think it was different kind of oppression. I think they were really well to do anti-propaganda, but not use the direct violence.
Because maybe you can explain before this government came to power, what kind of very clear oppressions did happen? You already said, like, the police killed a boy in the street. There's been a military junta, of course. And what kind of oppressions did you have before this leftist government? And how did that change when the leftist government came to power?
I think it's the same state repressions that every state has. Just the leftist government made it a bit more democratic in the image, but not in the core of it. Like, they were still evicting squads, of course. They were still
what is the oppression? You say, like, the oppressions that every state has. And,
yes.
And I can imagine what you mean, but can you make it explicit?
Mm-hmm. Maybe one example is the people going to prison, for example. Like, people that struggling face justice and staying in prison. This is one thing that never stopped. Or the violence in the street from cops, or the racist violence. Like, the refugee crisis happened when we had the leftist government, and they still built up the concentration camps and the hotspots. These were made from a leftist government. All the deaths in the GNC and
the deaths in the GNC.
Yeah, the drawing of migrants in the sea.
Ah, okay. Sorry. Yes.
All this happened during the leftist government. The racist violence, the gender oppression, everything existed in the left-wing government. Also, bad laws about education were still happening. It just they made it in a sneaky way.
Yeah.
Like, the leftist government was preparing the ground for the new right-wing government to come and take it all. Like, the bad propaganda about Exarchia during the leftist government was so big. Like, the news were saying, Exarchia, you cannot go there, it's so dangerous. They will rob you, they will steal you, they will, I don't know what. There is no justice in Exarchia, there's no police, it's a chaos. And the inhabitants cannot live there anymore. So when the government changed, it was so easy for them to just install police everywhere in the neighborhood, because the bad propaganda was already made.
And many of the leftists and the squads had left already, so then it was easier for the state to take over again.
They haven't left already. It's just they weren't used to this very straightforward oppression of the new government. Yeah. Like, we went from an era that the oppression was really the direct oppression with police force was less. So this new generation, like my generation, we weren't prepared for the new government. Because we haven't experienced such direct police brutality. So we couldn't defend a lot of things because we never learned how to do it, because we were living in this bubble of, it's so easy to squat, it's so easy to do riots, it's so easy to do whatever. And then when we faced the direct full police brutality, we weren't ready to defend our ourselves.
And are you learning that now? What have you been learning ever since?
Yes, I think we are learning it, and we keep learning, because also COVID came, mm-hmm. and this made everything way more complicated on the things we had and the things we lost, and the things we could win again. But me personally, I'm learning.
Because it's kind of interesting that you say the cops returned, but at the same time, in the beginning, we said you are struggling against gentrification, and we didn't even mention that, because this all also sounds like a build up to gentrification, like the leftist government that maybe said we have to improve the poorer neighborhoods, and that is often the starting sign of gentrification. Is that
exactly.
Is that what happened?
Yes, the leftist neighborhood, the leftist government really started the gentrification campaign on Exarchia.
How would you describe gentrification?
I would describe it as the violent changing of a neighborhood to an expensive touristic hell. Like, the people that live there 10 years, 20 years, or poorer people, or anarchists, or whoever could be able to afford a rent, and now it's being displaced out of there. So the companies
price is going up, and the poor people cannot afford it anymore.
Yes, this is full what's happening. Like, also when I told you that Exarchia is abandoned, it's abandoned because a lot of people cannot afford rent there anymore, so they cannot live there. Like, the geography of people, let's say, has changed so much because there are not a lot of people there anymore to live there. A lot of flats have turned in Airbnbs. A lot of old houses are now hotels. A lot of shops has turned out in bars and the expensive things. You can see the tourists going up and down in the neighborhood. And of course, this has happened in a lot of different ways. The leftist government was also launching Exarchia as the alternative neighborhood, so alternative tourists could visit and have cheap house and cheap food, to see the nice graffitis on the wall and see the I don't know, the revolt. The leftist government was trying to sell Exarchia as an alternative touristic place. And that's what also maybe we do as anarchist movement. Sometimes we sell Exarchia as a touristic alternative space.
because it's not, maybe it's not necessarily the tourist that you are against, or is it? Or what is your analysis of the problem, and who would you struggle against? The tourists that are just coming, or yeah? Can you explain?
It's everyone. It's also the tourists, because it's not a personal attack. It has to do with information. Like, when you want to travel in another city, in another country, you have to take into consideration your what will happen after your arrival. Maybe after your arrival, a person will lose their house. So if you really care about this neighborhood, or about learning about this neighborhood, you should never come and stay here in an Airbnb house, because the consequences are really direct. So it's, yes, I'm against tourists in the sense of they have money, so they can pay more expensive stuff. They can pay more expensive rents. They can do this. And now you can see in the neighborhood that there are some places with really extreme prices. And you're like, why? How? I'm also against the municipality of Athens. this is a big enemy, I can say, the mayor, because he has been, he has put gentrification in a focus of his work, with selling out the land to big companies. I wanted to speak about the hill of Exarchia, the Strefi Hill. That is it's a very, very nice, beautiful hill to enjoy your day and to hang out and to walk your dog or the kids play there. It's really beautiful and very free. There are small animals staying there. It's a really nice place, and it's a breath. You can take a breath there. And last year, okay, it has been under attack the last years also, with the left-wing government closing it all and putting caps around it so you cannot enter. Or it has been through repression moments all these years, of course. This year, the municipality decided to sell out the hill to a private investments company. And the plan is to surround it with fences, putting up cameras, putting security guards, building a new fancy expensive cafe inside, and change also how the hill looks, like make it, put cement in some streets, like change it completely. And it's not disconnected that they sold it in an investments company. They didn't sell it in a construction company, or I don't know. It's they sold it to a company that owns big buildings all over Athens, and make them fancier and make them expensier. So this is a main struggle that is happening from anarchists, leftists, inhabitants, and it's a struggle that brought together a lot of different people from the neighborhood after a really long time. They got together to struggle against this plan, and it's still an ongoing struggle.
Yeah, because gentrification can also unite people who were before not necessarily united.
Yes,
I've seen that in Amsterdam too. That sometimes people don't see their common ground, but gentrification affects all of the old inhabitants of neighborhoods, and then. It makes them come together and fight this. And,
yes.
And what is your strategy, or the strategy of the anti-gentrification movement in the neighborhood? Like, what do you try to do to stop the further gentrification?
To me, a very important tool is to have people in the neighborhood, the people to use these places that are under attack. To be in the hill, to be in the square of Exarchia, to be in the Polytechnic University, like to have constant presence and direct answers if something is going to happen. I will tell you also about the square of Exarchia that is under attack from the... they want to build a metro line in the square of Exarchia. Maybe this for Europe sounds very normal, like... It don't seem weird to want to build a metro line somewhere, but here it's really a plan of gentrification and for stopping any political activity that is happening in the neighborhood. If the square of Exarchia is being closed down from fences for 7 or 8 years, it means the complete destruction of the neighborhood. It's a very small square.
It could be closed off for construction, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a very small square, and it's the only square of the neighborhood. And it's the center of the neighborhood. Like, people pass out from there every day to cross the neighborhood. And it's
so
also...
we can expect some like real-life resistance there against turning the square into a construction site?
Yes, it has already started, because every time that the engineers has come to the square to do something, they have been kicked out, not in a violent way. Since now we have no violence for this struggle, the cops haven't appeared for this struggle yet. It's been a few times that workers of the company of the metro have come in the square to measure something and check the square, and people just went and tell them, don't want the metro in our neighborhood, we want you to leave, and they just left. This has happened a few times, and 1 month ago a big bulldozer came in the square eventually, and just a few people stepped in front of it, and it stopped. They left.
Were you there too?
No. I wasn't there. No, I don't know why.
But this presence is important.
Yes, the presence is important. And also the information of the people, like people to know what is going to happen, because it affects really everyone. If you cannot go to the square anymore, or if you cannot go to the hill anymore, and even if we see it from a petit bourgeois perspective, also the shops and the bars that are around the square will not have, will cannot work anymore. So, really, I think everybody is against that.
Yeah.
And also, if the metro will happen, the political field will change. And also, we have this analysis that they want to make Exarchia into this touristic bar place, mm-hmm. that you can just take the metro, go to drink and have fun, and then yeah. take the metro and go home.
Yeah. Do you still feel free when you walk in Exarchia?
One thing that has changed a lot is the cops' presence. I think there's no other neighborhood in whole Greece, and I don't know, in Europe, that is so much guarded by the police. There is constant presence of the police in Exarchia all day. We have this police that are called the Delta, and they are like six police, so 12 in motorbikes, and they're just doing circles in the neighborhood all day. And different police forces that are, they have a place, let's say, an exact position in the neighborhood, and these moving forces. So maybe you're in the hill and you just hang out in the hill, and the cops will come and search you. Mm-hmm. And would be normal. Or you're in the square and the cops will come and search you for drugs. And it's normal. And it's so much that we don't resist this. And it's a very big mistake. That because they do it all day, we don't have the power to resist this somehow.
This podcast is for Media News, and that's a website that reports a lot about the Kurdish struggle. And I was wondering if you feel like you're struggling in a neighborhood in Europe, but it's an anarchist struggle, and I know the anarchist struggle also is being rather internationalist. So do you feel connected to other struggles in other places in the world?
Yes, of course. Everywhere, like to me personally, when when I sense the struggle is a passion for people and a real struggle for freedom, I always get connected. For example, with the Kurdish movement, It's really a struggle of land somehow, and I can make a small parallel struggle, like us in the neighborhood struggling for our hill not to be gentrified and not to be taken by the rich and not to be taken down by capitalism. Is it's somehow the urban struggle in the bigger struggle for land and freedom, that we want our green spaces, our mountains, our hills, our valleys to be free and to be full of life and nature and animals, and the capital not to insert in these places. So I can really feel the Kurds struggling in their mountains and not letting the enemy and the fascism and the capitalism to enter their the green spaces, the land. And also, I don't know, this movie called Sur, the end will be spectacular, that is about this neighborhood in Diyarbakir, I think.
Yes.
That the people didn't let their neighborhood under siege, like for 100 days they were resisting, also armed resistance, for not the army and the police to enter in their neighborhood. This is a big inspiration for our struggle in our neighborhood somehow. Okay, of course, it's totally different, the context. For sure, it's full different. Just as an example of how, like, people united can resist in any plans of the authority and the state. And also, we can do it. Like, we can be in the front line and destroy their plans. And it's real. It happens. Like, also, that's what the Kurdish movement shows to us, that everything is possible somehow, and we should never stop our struggle.
Beautiful. Very good. May you be successful.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. To Avashin Podcast, powered by Media News. Your host was Frederike Geerdink. The music you heard was composed and performed by Ulash Yashin. I would highly appreciate it if you shared this podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or wherever you hang out online, so more people can find it. Thank you in advance, and until the next episode of Avashin Podcast.